some of the members of the Old Alaskans Commission. They're calling in from their homes. So we're going to take SB 48 up first, dealing with the Old Alaskans Commission. Then we'll go to SCR 10, dealing with the promotion of Colonel Lars Johnson. And then, because we have General John Schaefer in Anchorage on that bill, he's also going to be testifying on SB 94, dealing with liability for the National Guard activity. So we'll take up that right afterwards. And then last, we'll take SB 91 relating to appointments to the Alaska Public Offices Commission. So those of you in the audience on those bills can perhaps get a sense of where we're going. The first bill before us, SB 48, extends the Old Alaskans Commission for another 4 years. The bill sponsor is in another committee meeting. Senator Fahrenkamp calling to order. She will be here shortly. While we're waiting for Senator Fahrenkamp, perhaps Ms. Seif, who's executive director of Alaska Older Alaskans Commission, could testify. If you could identify yourself
Chairman.
For the record.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I am Connie Seif. I am the executive director of the Older Alaskans Commission. I believe we do intend to have on teleconference today our legislative subcommittee of the commission. The chair, Melly Terwilliger from Tok, should be calling in Hazel Heath, who was the first chairman of this commission in 1981 when it was formed, and Peggy Bergen, the vice chair from Anchorage. I'm sorry, she was the past chair from Anchorage. Let me just give you a brief overview. You should have a paper in your packet. The commission wants to thank Senator Fahrenkamp for his sponsorship of this bill extending the commission. The commission plays roles under three different statutes. The state statute, which created the commission in 1981 and designates that it should have seven citizen members as well as three commissioner representatives from three departments and a representative from the Pioneers Home Advisory Board. It also then administers the senior community service programs under Title 4765, a separate state statute, and carries out the federally mandated role of each state that wishes to receive federal Older Americans Act money to have a state unit on aging, one single agency which receives and administers community service monies and senior employment and training monies for a state. And we do also serve that function at the commission. At this period in time, the commission has the major program components of its home and community service programs, the meals, the transportation, adult daycare centers, case management programs that I hope many of you are aware of. And I'm sure most of you had seen the draft report this year, and there are more of these here if anyone has not received them, of report about senior services in the state, which feature especially home and community services to seniors. The budget for those in fiscal year 88 was about $6,400,000. And that provided nearly 300,000 meals to 12,000 seniors and another 123,000 meals to shut-in seniors who needed home deliveries. It provided 325,000 rides to 4,100 people who otherwise could not drive or did not have access to public transportation that met their needs. It operated six daycare centers for adults around the state. Our second major program is the Senior Job Training and Community Service Employment Program, which employs low-income persons over the age of 55, and for $1,600,000 last year, employed and trained 251 persons. Most of this, of course, goes to their salaries. They work part-time. We also operate the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, a federal requirement for receipt of Older Americans Act money, and this is an advocacy office for residents of nursing homes. We do a training of the senior network, and we get a grant each year from the federal government for that express purpose to make people in our own service system and in the rest of the state aware of senior and gerontological issues. Finally, we always are looking out for opportunities to try new programs, and we are finishing up a federal discretionary grant in conjunction with the Alzheimer's Disease Family Support Group on a respite care pilot project. We're in the wind-up phase of that project. And we also, through our regular grant system and our own staff work, do legal services development work on issues such as the Durable Power of Attorney Act passed last year that is of interest to seniors. This year, we have funded an additional grant to legal services to hold seminars in about 12 communities around the state to print copies of the form and to get information out to people. So that's a quick overview of the kinds of activities that we are engaged in today. The commissioners, have they come online, sir? Have they come online?
Just Ms. Bergen.
Well, we do have Peggy Bergen online, and she served as a chair for two terms, and I'm sure could speak for the rest of the commissioners. They are from all over the state. I think you have a list in your packet. Berth Adsuna from Nome, Alton Ashcraft from North Pole, Peggy Bergen from Anchorage, Dr. Robert Carpenter from Bethel, Hazel Heath from Homer, Dove Cole, now a resident of the Juneau Pioneers Home, although she attended our legislative subcommittee meeting in person this morning, and Mellie Terwilliger, the present chair in Tok. It's 65 below in Tok, maybe a little warmer. I'm not sure why. We talked this morning by phone, but she has not called in. Would you like to hear or from Ms. Bergen, or do you have any other questions for me?
Yes, I just had I had a couple of questions first, and then we'll go to our people on teleconference. I did want to make a note for the record, though, we have some members who have been interested in the political affiliation of our commission members, and we did do the research, and there are 4 Democrats and 3 Republicans on the Older Alaskans Commission, just for your information. I did have a question on the budget. I was, I guess, somewhat surprised again or anew to see that that the staffing itself of the commission was running over $1 million with 16 positions. And I guess I've seen that before, I knew that, but I'm still under the assumption that most of the money, the $6+ million, is in grants for the services that a lot of the services you describe are done by grants. And I guess I'm wondering, what are the activities that the staff of the commission itself undertakes and does?
Okay. I'm glad to answer that, Mr. Chairman. You should be aware that 2 of those positions are the Long-Term Care Ombudsman's Office. One of them was created last year by the act of the legislature that passed a statute giving that ombudsman some statutory powers. In fact, it is not a filled position, and because of vacancy funding difficulties, it has not yet been filled. We will be filling it soon. And 2 half-time positions have not been filled for several years, a clerk and administrative assistant. So in real staff terms, I think of my staff as 13 people. What we are required to do in the Older Americans Act is to carry out, it takes 2 people plus almost a full-time administrative assistant to run the Title V, the Senior Employment Program. We must verify all payrolls, all accountings, all benefit programs. And so there's a lot of staff monitoring of those grants, about 3 people to run the Title V employment program. And then we must have a nutritionist on staff. That's, again, to get the meals program money from the USDA and the Older Americans Act. She also is a health programs coordinator and works on interagency things with case management, Department of Health and Social Services. We're required to carry out planning activities, for instance, to write a state plan and do research every year. Under the Older Americans Act, the State Unit on Aging is supposed to serve as a coordinating body, and of course the staff does this day-to-day, between all programs at the local level and also all state agencies serving seniors. We're required to be an advocacy agency. Under the state statute, we report directly both to the legislature and to the governor on all regulations, statutes, and budget matters related to seniors. So the staff is carrying out mostly grant monitoring. We have 1 person located in Anchorage who's a grant monitor and 2 people in Juneau, and they oversee the 54 grants, which do receive the $6,400,000. The administrative money is in addition to that money. You also should know that before fiscal year 86, before the last round of budget cuts, this was a staff of 27, 21 full-time and 6 part-time. It has been reduced to a staff of, if fully funded, if fully staffed, it would be 14 full-time, 2 part-time. And my estimation after a year there is that it is about at the appropriate level now. We find ourselves very busy keeping up with audit requirements to monitor all the grants, to try to make visits once, now we've agreed every 2 years, to review all their audits and so on. So we are a grants administration office, also providing a lot of technical assistance and planning, and then our advocacy work. Is there anything else I could go into more specific for you?
Well, sure. Maybe not to belabor the point, I wonder if you could summarize the 13 positions.
Okay.
I kind of lost track after 3 Title V.
Sure.
The entitlement people and 1 nutritionist. And
sure, I'm sorry, I could do that. There's myself, the executive director. There is a program coordinator who is in charge of all the grant programs, both the title, what we call Title III under Older Americans Act, kind of the Meals and Wheels programs, and Title V, and who serves, I suppose you'd say, as my deputy when I'm not there. Then there's a grant monitor, 2 grant monitors for Title III in Juneau, 1 in Anchorage. And each of them have other duties, too. I want to assure you, the person who, one of the people, does about half her time on special projects with rural projects and on training projects. She's in charge of this training grant we get from the federal government. Then the nutritionist does both. She has to review all menus every month. She has to make random samples whether they meet USDA nutritional requirements. And in addition, she's working on health projects, such as a standardized functional assessment that would be used both by us and by home health over at the Department of Public Health. She's working with us now on the start of an interagency advisory group between Health and Social Services and Older Alaskans Commission on Home Care. So after those people, then we have the Title V administrator, the administrative assistant to her, an internal auditor, financial, she's our fiscal officer, an administrative assistant who handles all the travel and the bill paying, and then we have one clerk and one secretary. The Anchorage office has no clerical staff. And the Anchorage has our long-term care ombudsman, and when we hire for him a paralegal assistant, that position would be in Anchorage, and the one grant monitor, Howard DeVore.
Other questions on this side? Senator Fragapis, on our way.
Thanks, Sylvia.
Why don't we go online here, do we have Ms. Twilliger, are you online?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down here.
Did you care to offer testimony at this time?
Yes. I'd like to say something. I'm in my fifth year on the commission. Almost immediately after Peggy and I came aboard, we went through the Sunset Review, and the legislature gave us a great many recommendations and directions, and we have tried to carry them out, and I heartily concurred with their directions and recommendations. I think we're doing all right. I see problems that we have are the problems that a lot of them are due to the nature of our country, which you know, delivering social services are hard. For instance, where we live in Tulsa, it's a junction of two major highways. We have no doctor, no bus, no hospital, no bank, no attorney, no city, no borough, and so it's hard to do anything along that line to give out services. Services are unequal and fragmented. We don't know how to make them perfect. I don't suppose we ever will. I strongly like the Oregon arrangement. We went to that Oregon conference, but we are not really built like Oregon either. That's a problem. That's all.
Thank you very much. Questions? Thank you very much for calling in. I'm glad to see the phone lines are still working out there. Do we have either Ms. Bergen or Ms. Heath? Are either of you online?
This is Peggy Bergen, and I'm online in Anchorage.
Peggy, please give us your comments if you care to.
Yes, I'd like to speak briefly, and thank you for allowing me the time. I, too, am in my fifth year serving on the Older Alaskans Commission. I have served as the former chair of the commission, and I would like to say that I think Connie has covered our work and what we're attempting to do very well. Of course, our biggest project is to balance our money. We have more seniors and we have more needs, but we are trying to take care of it the best we can. Our main concern is to keep our seniors in their homes, and also we're looking at their needs and as what we need to keep them in their homes. And of course, the wants are there, but we cannot cover them all. I would like to say, too, that Connie covers the number of employees that we have, and I think they're doing an excellent job. They're very busy, but they're doing an excellent job, and I want to commend them all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have anybody else online on teleconference?
This is Mary Collier. Can I get in one sentence?
Please.
I didn't hear Connie's thing because I didn't get on, but I want to say we have a very good director and have a lot of confidence in her ability, okay?
Thank you very much. She's my, by the way, for you on teleconference, my apologies. Here, this is Senator Porcio, and we have with us Senator Adams and Senator Fakes, Senator Kelly. We are been joined by Senator Fahrenkamp, the bill sponsor. Senator Fahrenkamp, do you want to say a few words?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for being late. I was trying to get a job committed together in the next room. It's nice to hear from my friend in Tulsa as well. I think all of you are very familiar with the Older Alaskans Commission, and this bill extends it for 4 years. And all of you know that the commission consists of 7 seniors from throughout the state, as well as the chair of the Pioneer Advisory Board and the Commission of Administration, Health and Social Services, and Community and Regional Affairs. Now, it's an agency designated as a state unit on the aging for purposes of the Older Americans Act. And I just think it's imperative that we go ahead with the extension for 4 years and would appreciate your support of the bill.
Thanks, Senator.
Connie's here and has testified. There are others here that have. If you have specific questions, or a member of my staff is here to help.
Thank you. Questions of the bill sponsor? We have one other person signed up to testify, Joe Alter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator, thank you very much. Mr. Alter?
Thank you kindly, Chairman Porchow and commission members. I appreciate the privilege of appearing before you. My name is Amos Joe Alter. I live at 303 Diston here in Juneau. And as a 45-year Alaska resident, I've had the opportunity to be a has-been in many areas. I'm past chairman of the Mountain View Senior Citizens Advisory Group and past chairman of the Igloo No. 6 of the Pioneers of Alaska here. I'm past chairman of the American Association of Retired Persons in Juneau and a past chairman of the Juneau Commission on Aging, and I'm currently serving on the Pioneer Home Advisory Board for the state. In these various roles, I've had a great opportunity to witness what the Older Alaskans Commission does, and I speak in support of Senate Bill 48 and the act extending the life of the commission. Their job has been one of prevention, so far as I can see, one in which we have stayed off, so to speak, the entry of people into an institution of some sort much prematurely. It's a preventive organization, which is the ounce of prevention that is so much cheaper than a pound of cure. As long as we can keep people in their own homes and in their own home setting, it's much cheaper to everybody concerned. In addition to those observations, I think I could say without question that the services which the Older Alaskans Commission provides are such that lend to the dignity of seniors, and they certainly provide a volunteer base, a sustained volunteer base of service to a community, which is of extreme value. It probably has not been quantified in dollars and cents, but it's of great value. Another thing is such things as the adult daycare program and case management, which can come through the Older Alaskans Commission, are very, very beneficial to the working group of citizens in Alaska, the workaday people, who are still saddled, so to speak, with looking after grandma and grandpa, or Ma and Pa. So in summary, I would say that not only is this commission in need of extension, but it is vital to all of Alaskans because it touches upon the lives of the workaday people, it sustains the dignity of the persons involved, seniors themselves, and certainly it's an ounce of prevention that's worth a pound of cure. Thank you kindly.
Thank you, Mr. Alter. By the way, thank you also for your service on the Pioneer Home Advisory Board and
you're very
the many
kind.
Hearings that I know you've brought to my district in Anchorage for the Anchorage Pioneer Home. We sure appreciate that.
Thank you, Ben.
Is there anybody else here to testify on Older Alaskans Commission Bill? Senator Adams.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Bill number 48 be moved out of committee with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection to moving the bill from committee? If not, bill moves from committee. The next bill before us is SCR 10, relating to the promotion of Colonel Lars Johnson to Major General of the Alaska National Guard. Senator Kelly, as a bill sponsor, did you care to say a few words, or was Mr. Gray from your staff going to be here?
We just introduced a bill to request it from the National Guard, so I'll let John.
Okay. I do have Major Bowen. Signed up to testify is. Okay, we've got two National Guard bills. My apologies, and we have different people, I guess, for both. Is General Schaefer, are you online?
I just got off the first one. I'll have him on here shortly. I'm
okay.
Down in the
town. Okay. And is there someone from military affairs on this bill to testify here?
Mr. Chairman,
in addition,
yes, this is Roger. General Schaefer, dialing into the General Schaefer line with the Senate State Affairs Committee.
ready for motion?
No.
General, stay for just a moment. I'll put you in line with the committee.
General Schaefer?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Pat Forsho. We have with us Senator Adams, Senator Faith, Senator Kelly, and myself. We've just taken up SCR 10 on the promotion of Colonel Lars Johnson. Did you care to offer testimony at this time?
Yes, I would, Senator. Lars Johnson was one of our original adjutant generals in Alaska, and he happened to be here at the time that needed to organize the Air National Guard. So he organized the Air National Guard as the adjutant general. But he was never promoted beyond colonel. And after he was the adjutant general, then all adjutant generals were given the rank of major general. And since he's still alive and still visits Alaska, we felt that he should receive the honor of a commission as a married major general, which would be an honorary one. And the reason we're coming to the legislature is that we feel that recognition by the legislature is really what we're after, not just the promotion or an appointment that the governor would normally make. We feel that Lars is a distinguished former Alaskan that should be recognized in this way, and we would like your support. Thank you.
General Schaefer, thank you very much for your comments. Questions of members of the committee? Is there anyone else here to testify on SCR 10? If not, any discussion? Senator Fink?
I move Senate concurrent resolution number 10 from committee with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection for moving the bill from committee? If not, SCR 10 moves from committee with individual recommendations. The General Schaefer, were you going to stay online for the consideration of the National Guard liability?
I can if you're going to bring it up right away. Our attorney was going to testify on that particular bill, but I'll bump down if you want.
I think we do have another person, Gary Bowen, and also Jeff Morrison here to testify, so it's not necessary that you stay online.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. The next bill that we have before us then is SB 94, which limits the state liability for activities of the Alaska National Guard. Should be in your packet an explanation of the reasons behind this. Basically, it would relieve the state of liability in the case of federally directed action of our National Guard. It is in concurrence with a federal law that was passed recently that provided four suits against the federal government in this instance. And the reason that state action is deemed appropriate in this case is that it does prevent collateral action or action against both the state and the federal government for the same actions. We are one of a few states who have not yet enacted legislation limiting state liability for the Guard action in the case of federally mandated training exercises of the Guard.
I am on the line, but he's coming to the phone.
This is Mr. Bowen.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
And Mr. Bowen?
I said at the same time,
this
is Roger and General. If you'll stand by just a moment, I'll put you online with the
Did you want to offer just my show?
Just to ask you a question.
Major Bowen? Yeah, this is Pat Forsho. We have with us Senator Adams, Senator Fake, Senator Kelly. We have taken up SB 94, limiting the liability of activities of the Alaska National Guard, and would welcome your testimony on the bill at this time.
Well, thank you very much. Sorry I can't be with you there today and discuss the bill. Appreciate the opportunity to discuss it over the phone. Put it simply, the thrust of the bill and the intent was to shift the responsibility for paying for the damages to persons or property occasioned by training which was a mandated federal authorities to keep the National Guard to a desired level of training ought to be borne by that government entity which ordered the training. And so, in effect, method of ensuring that the party which caused the risk bears the responsibility. And that's really what we've attempted to do with the bill. Of course, it was drafted by the Attorney General's office with that in mind. And we are following the many other states who have taken a similar kind of effort in this direction to ensure that that the states that bear only that risk which they have undertaken and they not become a voluntary or gratuitous insurer for activities undertaken by a different sovereign. So that's simply what we're trying to do, and we think that it's an equitable and appropriate allocation of the burden at risk. I could testify further on it. I know an awful lot about the bill, and I just, out of a sense of time and in the interest of the committee time, if there's questions, I'd be happy to answer those or go into greater detail if the committee would like.
Thank you, Major Bowen. Now, I think we do have a question. Senator Fenks?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, through the chair to Major Bowen. Major Bowen, I noticed in the packet there's a letter to Representative John Sund, as chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, dated last year. Was this this bill introduced in the previous legislature?
Yes, ma'am, it was. In the prior legislature, it was passed by the Senate in the first session of the last legislature, and it went to the House Judiciary Committee. Again, I'm not exactly sure which letter might be in the package. We did send a letter to Representative Sun, who chaired that committee, but it remained in committee in the last session, and again, didn't pass out of House, the Judiciary Committee. So that's why it's been reintroduced.
Could you tell me, sir, what is your feelings as to why it remained in House Judiciary, and if it's merely a housekeeping bill and as logical as you make it sound, why it didn't pass out of that committee and pass the legislature? What were the issues involved? This has to do with our collateral source for House Judiciary. It's very complicated. Do you read the backup?
One is always pressed to be diplomatic about these things.
He's no longer here.
Representative Sund, as you know, was an attorney, and he had some grave misgivings generally about the concept of tort reform. Now, we never saw the bill as being in tort reform because we don't really think that we're trying to reform the tort system in the state. Frankly, we're satisfied generally with the way Alaska law determines the issue of responsibility. So it wasn't that we were trying to reform the tort system as much as ensuring that the proper sovereign, that being the United States, bore the risk of any loss. And I'm not sure that perhaps with all of the intensity of the tort reformers in the last session that we might not have been misunderstood and caught up in that. And I know we explained on several occasions to Representative Sun and his staff what we were attempting to do, but perhaps there was a failure of communication, or perhaps in the crush of other legislative matters, we just didn't make that point clear. So I think that's really was the thrust of it. Again, I can't. I really don't know. Representative Sun never really told us that the bill was ever going to come out of committee, but as it turned out, it just never did.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Has that been responsive, Senator?
Yes, sir, you were. I appreciate it. Thank you.
We also have with us, Major Bowen, we have Mr. Morrison here. Mr. Morrison, did you want to give any other comments on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, no, thank you. I think the whole purpose of having Gary here was so I could hand the ball off to him for any technical questions, which I think is really the only type of questions that you may have.
I have nobody else signed up to testify. Is there anybody here to testify on SB 94? If not, is there any discussion on part of the committee on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Bill number 94 be moved out of committee with individual recommendations.
Without objection, the bill SB 94 moves from committee.
Collateral sources. If you read the background, it says right now the state of Alaska is liable for every single solitary National Guardsman in all the territories. If they come up here and train, they can sue the federal government and win, and then they can come back and sue the state of Alaska and win. So it was a tort reform issue, but every state in the union has done this but us, and so we're liable for everybody.
Doesn't change the liability, it just points it off to the federal government.
Right, and it takes us out of it. Yeah, it removes the liability from us.
Next bill before us, we don't have anybody on teleconference.
We're off
teleconference now, is SB 91 on how we appointed this member of AIPOC. Testifying today, we have Carla Forsythe, Executive Director of AIPOC.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, again for the record, this is Carla Forsythe, Executive Director of the Alaska Public Offices Commission. Mr. Chairman, committee members, this bill, the Commission believes to be a straightforward, non-controversial change in the procedures whereby APOC members are appointed. As you all know, the Commission administers three laws, campaign disclosure, regulation of lobbying, and conflict of interesting. And the Commission is a commission with broad regulatory and quasi-judicial powers. By law, it is authorized to adopt regulations, and it's a quasi-judicial body in the sense that it adjudicates civil penalty assessments and also the disposition of complaints. Under the Alaska Constitution in Article 3, Section 26, provision is made that the governor is responsible for appointing the members to any commission which heads a quasi-judicial regulatory agency. However, the current statute which governs commission appointment procedures is at variance with the Constitution. That is AS 1513020, paragraphs B and C, which provides that the commission will be structured in sort of a bipartisan way. There are four party-designated members who come up through nomination by their party directly to the governor, and those will be the two parties that were able to achieve the highest votes at the most recent gubernatorial election. And the statute provides that the governor appoints from those four names. Nothing is mentioned regarding legislative confirmation. With regard to the fifth member, the statute currently provides that that member is selected by the other four, and there is nothing regarding gubernatorial appointment or legislative confirmation. And the practice of appointments to the commission has varied over the year. There have been times, I am told, when legislative confirmation has not been sought. I believe in all instances gubernatorial appointment has been sought and obtained. Currently, the commission is in the process of trying to select a fifth member, and the procedure that's going to be followed is the procedure that's set forth in the legislation that's before you. It's a procedural problem, but it's an important procedural problem because the commission has been challenged as being unconstitutionally constituted in several matters that have been before the commission in recent years. The bill would change existing law to make it clear that with regard to the four party-designated members, they must be confirmed by the legislature, and that with regard to the fifth member, that person must be appointed by the governor and also confirmed by the legislature. The commission favors this legislation. The commission believes that it strikes the appropriate balance that the legislature initially tried to achieve in having the party framework plus a fifth member. And I should point out that fifth member, who sometimes functionally is conceived as a nonpartisan, really is a member who merely needs satisfy the other three. It can be a Democrat, it can be a Republican, and as long as the person obtains the votes of three members on the commission, that person will be the fifth member. So perhaps it's somewhat of a misnomer to call that a nonpartisan member. But in any event, the commission believes that this is an important procedural change that will preserve the balance that was originally intended in regulating the political process. And I'll be glad to respond to any questions.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adams.
What is the term of a member?
Through the chair, Senator Adams, in the case of someone who serves a full term, it would be 5 years. When an individual resigns from the commission in the middle of a term, the successor is appointed to fill out the rest of that person's term.
Mr. Chairman, we worked on this issue the other day in one of the commissions, and I believe we should start being uniform as far as the length of terms of commissions and boards, and I think we changed one from 5 to 3 years the other day, and I think we should look at also the same process here with this particular committee, all members staggered terms at 3 years.
I would just say, Senator Adams, we did prepare the list of showing the different terms, and there is no real consistency among all our boards and commissions. They do vary from up to 8 years and some as few as 2 years, so I don't know if I would characterize it as being a policy that we have tried to go to any certain number of years. I think in the case of the Women's Commission, we're certainly trying to overcome some objections on the part of some people to the longer terms.
Mr. Chairman, if I might comment. Senator Adams, I guess the only comment I would offer is this, as I'm sure you can imagine, it's not an easy task finding people who are eager to serve on the commission. It's often politically unpopular work. The remuneration is very low. And I think there's some arguments in favor of a longer time span. Once someone comes on the commission who's indicated an interest, it's helpful to have someone who would like to stay for a period of time. But certainly I don't think the commission would have any reason to argue with the notion of overall consistency. But there are...
We have that same problem with people running for office also.
Yeah.
We just want different terms for different people, right?
I have no further questions.
Other questions? We do also have with us Mr. Monkman from the Attorney General's Office. Mr. Monkman, did you care to offer, or were you just here for questions, or did you have
some
testimony?
Just here to answer questions.
I did have a question just to clarify what Ms. Forsythe said on the... it's my understanding that despite how things have been done in the past on the fifth member, that I assume it's your position that it really is at least a technical violation of the Constitution to have appointments made to boards or commissions by other than the governor. Is that the position of the administration?
That is the position. In the case of this commission, we've tried over the years to bring the practice into as much conformity with the Constitution as we can. But as Ms. Forsythe said, there's been some variance as to when the governor has actually appointed the fifth member, for example, or when legislative confirmation has been sought. This bill would require that the legislature confirm each of the appointments. It would require the governor to appoint the fifth member and would thus take care of all the problems.
Is there any questions by members of the committee of either Mr. Monkman or Ms. Forsythe? Senator Adams.
Yes, I move that Senate Bill number 91 be moved to its next committee and with individual recommendations.
Is there any objections? Senator Kelly,
quick question. Who are the four members now of the APOC?
Now, through the chair, Senator Kelly, the members are the two Democrats, Rodman Wilson of Anchorage, Burke Riley of Juneau. The two Republicans are Alan Beasy of Fairbanks and Annie Laurie Howard of Anchorage.
Any other discussion or objection to Senator Adams' motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations? If not, SB 91 moves from committee. Is there anything else to come before the State Affairs Committee today? So, Wednesday.